Already cancelled. Already cancelled. Already cancelled.
Hey there, welcome. Keen Yaz of Nisha. This is Already Cancelled. We had a huge discussion prior to doing this. This is a bonus episode right now.
Yeah.
Because of the recent events that's taken place in our home city, Sydney.
Yeah.
If you are around the world, there's some pretty heavy things happening here at the moment. Murder, killings, stabbings, and just awful things that are terrorizing the people here. And whilst there is so much of terror going on in the world, this is something that doesn't usually happen here, or you don't really hear about it on this scale.
Sydneysiders are starting to feel unsafe. That's what's happening. Even myself, I've gone ahead and put certain things in place to kind of protect myself out in public if I do choose to go, because it's frightening what's happening. Obviously on Saturday, a lot of people got news of the Bondi stabbings at a shopping center in Bondi.
Horrific.
Someone went in there with what looked like a machete, I believe it was. And
it's a big knife of some sort, yeah.
Began to massacre anyone and everyone.
Women.
It seemed like he was targeting women.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like he was targeting women.
9-month-year-old baby.
Was stabbed.
Not in a stable condition yet, by the way, guys. Went from a critical condition to a serious condition, but that is a drop.
It is worth noting that the time of release, we're going to give you the information at the time of releasing this.
Obviously,
there's going to be a lot of advancements in the stories from when you hear this.
Yeah.
But as of today, yes, there have been multiple people murdered.
Yeah.
Women, children, a couple of security guards from the Bondi massacre.
And that's that's what happened in Bondi. And then, of course, yesterday, which would have been the 15th of April at the time, at around 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, a lot of people started getting some pretty frightening news about what happened out in Western Sydney, which, of course, was Bishop Emmanuel Marmari. He's a very well-known bishop in Sydney, especially in the Christian community. He was doing a sermon. It was also live streamed. This is how the news spread so quickly. It was live streamed when someone decided to walk in there and attack him with a knife in front of everyone, front of a live audience that was being streamed.
Now, Yaz called me last night to go, dude, what's going on? Because we've been talking about the Bondi stuff over the last couple of days. We didn't know if we wanted to touch on it, but obviously this has popped up as well. And we're like, okay, let's report on this.
Yes.
We do have some extra information that maybe mainstream media might not know yet.
Yeah.
So we wanted to deliver that with obviously as much respect as we can. So first and foremost to all the victims and all the families, we send our condolences and our best wishes and love.
Yeah.
But secondly, when you called me up and you sent me the video, Yaz, of what happened to this,
Bishop Emmanuel Marmari, yes.
To Bishop Emmanuel. What it seemed like was a man that walked down the aisle of the church and started to swing his arm with a supposed knife.
Some people say that here's the thing, right? When information spreads that quickly, like I said, it was live streamed. There was a lot of people watching it live. He has a very big audience.
Yeah.
Rumors start spreading.
Of course.
A lot of rumors start spreading. Some people said there was nothing in his hand. You can quite clearly see something in his hand. A lot of people said it was a pen. Then a lot of people confirmed that it was a knife.
Mm-hmm. A pocket knife, is that right?
Some kind of knife that needs to be opened.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? It could be a box cutter. It could be maybe a butterfly knife. I don't know.
He forced it directly to Bishop Emmanuel's face.
Multiple times.
Until the bishop collapsed to the floor.
He fell to the floor, yes.
You then see the perpetrator look at his hand, attempt to click something in his hand again, and proceed to keep on daggering.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people that were there in the church when it happened obviously instantly rushed the perpetrator.
To stop him.
They rushed the attacker and they stopped him. They did it quite quickly. Extremely lucky, what's being said is the knife was never opened. He had forgotten to open the knife. Now, it would have been bloody scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
Which thankfully wasn't. From what we can see of the videos, he did obviously bust his eye open a little bit, which you're going to get from any impact to the face.
Of course, yeah.
But he's in a the bishop is in a good state.
So we don't know if he actually stabbed him.
It doesn't look that way, no.
Okay.
It looks like the knife wasn't open. And all I can say is it an act of God?
Yeah.
Is it protection?
Wow.
Who knows? The craziest thing about this, the most insane thing about this is that it's in the middle of a sermon. It's in church. You know, you have the stabbings that happened in Bondi in a shopping center.
Yeah.
This is where people go to buy bread and milk.
And that's what a lot of
Then you got another stabbing attack happen in a church where people go to get soul food.
Yeah.
You know, it's complete violation of our safety, complete violation of when our arms are down the most, where we are being, where people are being attacked.
Yeah.
And this is where the insanity lies. It's not just, it's targeted at women, at babies. Now at priests, it's like
elderly priests.
What is going on?
It's like the weak are being targeted. And guys, we're not in a war zone.
No,
we're in Sydney, Australia. We're meant to be safe. Yeah. We're meant to feel safe here.
You feel this 100% this uneasiness, and especially like you said, Kian. I feel like you hit the nail on the head so well. Like in these areas where you feel like your utmost safety, you're fine, you have no worries, and these things happen, and then consecutively, one after the other,
a couple days apart. Yeah,
it's like it's so frightening. And when I heard about the bishop. It was yesterday night and my husband showed me and I was in disbelief and I couldn't even watch the video because it was just, honestly, it was so harrowing. But I didn't realize that this bishop, like, you know, is, as you said, really well known.
Yeah, he has a controversial past.
Yeah, and that's what I've heard. I'm just curious, can you give some background on that at all?
Look, from what I know now, one of my best mates, he's part of the community. He goes to that church every single Friday. From what I've seen, what I've heard, what I've researched, he's very well known. Now, what's that really big podcast in the States?
Patrick Bet David.
PBD?
PBD. So he was on PBD about 4 months ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. PBD posted about him last night.
Yeah, yeah. So he was on PBD himself. George Jenko as well was on there. So this bishop was essentially, I don't know what the word is. I don't want to say the word banished. I don't think he was banished, but he was
kind of like
removed or kicked out.
Yeah, from his original church for his certain political views.
Okay.
He's extremely unfiltered, which I don't think is a problem in any way, shape, or form, especially if you're a man trying to spread a word, right? Yeah. And you need to get your point across. So he went and created his own church in his own community, and a lot of people followed him. A lot of people respect this man. Like I said, completely unfiltered. So he will... voice his opinions and what he believes is his truth in any way, shape or form.
According to his scripture that he reads.
And, you know, obviously from what we can see and what we've heard and everything that's happened yesterday, this could be the reason why this attacker had a vendetta.
But here's the thing.
Against this man.
There's something interesting about this that not many people know, Yaz, and you told us this morning.
Yeah.
This was not the first incident of the night.
Once again, I don't have all the information. A lot of people are focusing on the footage that has been seen, but apparently there was another priest. I believe his name was Father Isaac from the same community, who was also stabbed that night and ended up going to hospital.
What?
So he was looking after, in Arabic, what we like to call a aza, which is where you go to pay your respects to someone who's passed away. So it's not the funeral, it's before the funeral. And he was hosting one of those for a family. And apparently he was stabbed and went to hospital.
Okay, so I missed that conversation this morning.
Yeah.
Wait, so...
Two stabbings.
Different people.
Let me double check that before I share false information.
I'm assuming it's different people, right? Like who committed this?
Oh, no, same person.
Same person.
From what I know, yeah.
And is did you say Father Isaac?
I believe so. Bishop and priest stabbed. Oh, my goodness. This, I'm just finding this out now. The perpetrator, the person that wielded the knife, 15 years old, guys.
Oh my god!
It's 15. So the latest headline that I have here: bishop and priest stabbed 15-year-old boy in custody after Sydney's church attack. There's a lot that we need to talk about when it comes to this, because even the reaction from the public, the reaction from the community in the Fairfield City Council yesterday was insane. Mm. It was wild. It was, some may even call it a riot. the word got out very quickly once again because of the live stream, mm-hmm. and the amount of people that showed up to this church was unimaginable. Mm-hmm. Within 30 minutes, I wasn't there, but from the footage that I can see and people talking, they're estimating around 5,000 people showed up to this church.
Yeah.
Wow.
5,000 people demanding
to let him out because police rush in after he's hit Bishop Emmanuel.
Yes.
The police rush in.
A lot of police.
Hold him and secure him.
Yes, in the church itself.
And lock down the church.
Yes. Now, the reason they had to lock down the church was because of how quickly this crowd of
emerged.
Angry people emerged.
Yeah.
Now, this wasn't just a crowd of, you know, Christian supporters. This is a crowd of everyone. These were locals.
Yep,
these were Christians. A lot of Muslims showed up to show their support as well.
Yeah.
It was pretty insane. Now, the crowd got rowdy. The crowd started doing things that maybe they shouldn't have done.
Gotcha.
They started smashing in cop cars.
Why cop cars?
Well, this is what I was asking. Now, my cousin lives on that street. So I was asking what was happening. I was like, dude, why are people losing their mind? Why are people attacking the police? Why are people attacking police cars? They're smashing the windows. They're popping the tires. They're trying to flip cars over.
Oh,
it was insanity, right?
Yeah.
From what he told me was a lot of people were being attacked by the police, trying to obviously keep control, but in a way where maybe they shouldn't have done that. Apparently there were elderly women and elderly men being pepper sprayed.
Oh.
And they weren't doing anything. They were just there in the crowd.
Oh, that's odd.
So I don't know about you, but I would get quite upset if I saw my 60-year-old mother get pepper sprayed.
Of course.
So I feel like that was the retaliation of the crowd and obviously demanding for him to come out. The police couldn't get him out for about 3 hours.
Yeah, because there's that many people.
And they were trying to get into the church.
Wow.
It was the most insane scenes. But there's another thing I want to talk about, guys, and this is what really grinds my gears.
Mm-hmm.
This is what really pisses me off. And this is the problem with Australian media. We are so far behind. We are so far behind, and the only word that I can describe it as is racist. Our Australian media, the media that's in front of us, the commercial media, is so disgustingly racist, it makes me sick to my stomach. We had the Bondi incident on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that I saw was the general public posting about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who was posting about it? The whitest of the white. And what were they saying?
Mm-hmm.
Must be an Arab, must be a terror attack, must be a Palestinian supporting Palestine.
Yeah.
These are the things I saw on social media and it made me sick to my stomach. There was nothing. And to be honest, I'm not going to lie. When the photo emerged of the man from Bondi that committed these disgusting acts, he kind of looked a bit Arab. And I got worried. I said, here we go. We're going to cop it.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going to cop it because this one mental case went out and did something wrong. He looks like us. Now we're all going to get targeted as we always do.
Right?
Turns out he wasn't. Turns out he's a 100% Australian.
Mm-hmm.
He was wearing an Australian jersey. So what happens with the media? What do they put out? This was not a terror attack.
Yeah.
How many people died? Do we have the number of how many people died in Bondi? I'm just curious. I want to get the right facts here.
I think it was
seven stabbings.
Yeah, from the top of my head.
Nine stabbings. How many deaths? It was ridiculous. We had a baby that's currently in hospital in a serious condition.
The mum's dead.
The mother of the child is dead. Two security guards are dead. And they claim that this was not a terror attack.
I mean, yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. I completely agree with you.
As if you wouldn't be in terror.
But guys, what did we wake up to this morning? Have you guys seen the headlines?
Yeah, I did.
Have you guys seen the headlines this morning?
Yeah. Police have confirmed this is a terror attack.
Sydney church stabbing. Police investigating last night's attack as a terrorist act.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the man is of Middle Eastern appearance? Now, I'm not saying this isn't a terrorist attack. This definitely is terrorism. He's causing terrorism to the community. But the crazy thing which blows my mind is this man that went in yesterday had an agenda. He had a target. He had a vendetta against one person.
Yeah.
He went in there and attacked this one person.
Mm-hmm.
It's a terror attack.
Yeah, 100%.
But you're telling me that a man that walks into a shopping center, one of the busiest shopping centers in Sydney,
right? Yep.
With a machete, has no target and just targets the public, the general public walking past him. Is not considered a terror attack, is not considered a terrorist, even though he's causing more terror across the whole region.
Let me give you the definition of terrorism in Australian law, according to aph.gov.au. And bear with me, there's a few points here. Terrorism in Commonwealth law is defined as an act or threat that is intended to advance a political, ideological, or religious cause, coerce or intimidate an Australian or foreign government or public, conduct falls within the definition of it is serious physical harm to a person or serious damage to property, causes death or endangers a person's life, creates a serious risk to health and safety to the public, and seriously interferes, disrupts, or destroys. Now,
there's 3 points there that could fall.
There's so much more.
Exactly.
This is the conduct, right? The conduct of it. Serious physical harm, death, endangers people's lives, damage to property, mm-hmm. whatever, right? Did this particular 15-year-old boy, do we know of any type of motive? Is there any stories, anything around that?
I have a video on my phone. I have a video on my phone of someone recording in the church while they were pinning this 15-year-old boy down. They were talking to him in Arabic and they were asking him, who are you? Why did you do this? And he was responding regarding his faith. Now, it is a little bit hard to hear. It was translated by a few different people and it kind of comes down to one thing.
Yeah.
He says in there, I wouldn't have done this. By the way, he's speaking Arabic. I wouldn't have done this if the bishop hadn't, I think, made fun of my religion or spoke badly about my faith or spoken badly about my prophet. Okay. So what it sounds like is, look, end of the day, this guy's is mentally ill. You have to be mentally ill to have this much evil in you to walk in and target someone and commit such an act like this. So I'm not saying it has anything to do with religion, but in this kid's mind, it does.
Yes.
In this kid's mind, it does. And it hurts me so much to even mention this and say that this child made this decision because of religious conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Because it sucks. Because what's happening now is our Muslim brothers and sisters are going to be painted in this light.
Yeah,
of course. One person's act cannot be
100%. You can't generalize. Paint a whole community, a whole race of people, a whole ethnic group based on one person's behavior. It's not fair.
It makes me sick to my stomach that is probably what's going to happen. Why? Because of this agenda that this country's media has to separate the whites from the browns. It is disgusting. It is disgusting and it's been happening for years and years. And the fact that it's right in front of us, literally Saturday, a white man murders multiple people with zero agenda. He just wanted to go in there and cause terror. And he's not considered a terrorist.
Mm.
But when this one person goes into a church, attacks one man, the next day, He is a terrorist. This is a form of a terror attack. This is a form of a terror act. Come on, man.
Yeah.
What is going on in this country?
It's in the bloody definition. Like, it's just, that's what it is. Something has happened. There's a definition for it that you've just read out, Kian, that literally shows both situations as a terror attack.
Well, we don't know what was the motive of this white Aussie man at Bondi because he's dead.
Well, his dad came out and spoke.
What did his dad say?
His dad came out and said he was extremely frustrated because he's always wanted a girlfriend but couldn't get one. So that's why he went out and targeted women.
So if that's the motive from what his dad says, if that's the motive, how is that not – how just because it has no political, ideological or religious cause –
doesn't need that.
Why is it not a terrorist attack?
Because of Australian media and their agenda to separate us. There is nothing else I can say to you.
I mean, does it have anything to do with the fact that one happened in the West? I mean, and if you don't know about it, about Sydney, there's a big West. The West of Sydney is very multicultural.
Yeah.
There is a lot of different nationalities living in the West. And when you move over to, you go over to the East where Bondi is, it's predominantly a white place.
It is, yeah.
So you can see the difference here, right? This person being a white guy going into a shopping mall, killing six people, nine people injured. I'm not just running the exact numbers as
it's
of
a
now.
Lot of people. It doesn't matter what the number is. It is a lot of people.
Multiple people because he couldn't get a girlfriend.
From what his father says.
From what his father says. I mean, what an awful excuse.
There is no excuse for it.
I think that law needs to be changed. That's what I think. I think that law of terrorism needs to be any act of terror towards a community or one person.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of dot points that you spoke there that actually cover what happened.
But the main point here is advanced political, ideological, and religious cause. That's the main point here. But just, you know, the word around when you look at someone that's, you label someone as a terrorist, right? There's this ultimate judgment, which is rightful to judge, but rightfully that name should be owned. But then when you label someone as mental health, there's a sense of pity. There's a sense of feel sorry for them. There's a sense of
uncontrollable.
There's a sense of, oh, I get it. Do you know what I mean? Like
they couldn't control the behavior. Right?
This person didn't have a choice. They're mentally ill.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know, there's nothing we could have done.
And the media doesn't look, the media just looks at it in a different way. Look, we've been in the media. We know what the media is like. Mm-hmm. If you've seen it, tell me on any of the main commercial channels, I could probably say there's only two brown people I've ever seen read the news. In my entire existence in Australia on a commercial channel, channel 9, 7 or 10. If I could be wrong, there might be three.
No, you know what? I can only think of one.
There's only that Waleed Ali.
Yeah.
Right? He does this project show.
Who I could speak about here and say certain things about, but I'm not going to.
And then there's one other guy that I saw the other day. In my 32 years of life, I saw one other brown person read the news. I mean, it is so overly whitewashed in our media.
Yeah.
And here we are. We were the, like, okay.
And there's nothing wrong, once again, there's nothing wrong with having like I think what it comes down to is representation. Because ultimately, it's nice to see someone who looks like you, has experiences like you, especially projected on such a huge platform, right? Because to get to those levels, to get through to those doors is very difficult. I mean, we did a radio station. But that was very difficult to get into ourselves. And I believe-
And we hit a ceiling. We hit a massive ceiling.
But I also, when we were running on radio, it was actually very interesting. I would get messages constantly. And this is not, it's really interesting because I wasn't actually cognizant of it as much until people started messaging me being like, it is so amazing to see you do this. It's incredible. Like, oh my gosh, South Asian representation. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. And I was like-
But we're not thinking that.
Yeah.
And we're just trying to build a career for ourselves. That's what we're doing.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I thought about it for the last 10 years. Nisha, you were new to radio when you came in.
I was new, yes.
Myself and Kane have been doing it for 10 years.
Yes. Right.
Kian was working behind the scenes a lot to start off with.
Yeah.
I was always trying to be in front of the microphone.
Yeah.
And that was one of my biggest struggles, to the point where a manager, I'm not going to name names, not going to name companies, literally sat me down in his office and he said to me, in a nice way, trying not to come across racial. He said, Yaz, he goes, I know you have dreams and aspirations to do this and be in front of a mic and, you know, blah, 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 and entertain the masses. He goes, Australia isn't the country for you. He said, and he was saying it in a way where he's kind of like warning me that you're entering a very white predominant industry that are going to look at you differently and maybe not give you the opportunities you deserve.
Right.
And he said to me, he goes, maybe you should look at somewhere like Dubai or the Middle East. Mm. He said, you will flourish there.
That's so messed up.
And it's true. You look at Chris Fade. Mm. Let me just fix my camera. Set.
Oopsie, sorry, technical difficulties.
That's called passion. It's called passion.
Is that all right? Am I good there?
Yeah, just sit back a bit. Yeah, you're good.
And it's true. It's true. You look at someone like Chris Fade, right? He's a Lebanese Australian. He started his radio career. He tried to achieve what he wanted to, and he couldn't. He couldn't get to the level that he is at now. He is probably in the top three most successful and most famous radio hosts of 100%. All time.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? Do you think he would have had that same opportunity?
No, of course not. I mean,
they would have shut him down so quickly.
Yeah.
So quickly. And I'm sick and tired of this shit because we need
unity.
We need unity. We need to work together. We need to open up a little bit. Australia is so far behind.
Yeah.
You compare us to the UK. You compare us to America, the country that had slavery, proper slavery, right? That's who we're comparing ourselves to. Do you know how sick that is? That you go to somewhere like America and they have representation for everyone and anyone in any community. You go to the UK, it's the exact same, right? You will see coloured people on television. You will see coloured people giving you news. You will see all of that. But in Australia, you don't. Mm. You don't. It is fucked up.
Yeah, it is. And look, and look, it's not. We didn't want the conversation to steer about us. But you know, whatever. We've
had our journey.
We've experienced it. You know, and there's a lot of stories that we can tell you about what we've personally experienced within this industry. However, when it comes back down to labeling one different to the other. And you can clearly see, it's as clear as day, that one is white, one is Arab, and one is called this and the other is called that. One is called a terrorist, one has had mental health issues.
Thank you.
One is from the West, one is from Queensland, but one was done in the East. And wearing an Australian jersey, like wearing the colours of our country, a sports jersey of ours. And they're labeled two different things by the media and by police. Yeah, by police as well.
Well, it's the police that are coming out and saying it.
It's just hard to not look at that and feel that there is still this racial shit happening. It's just hard. And the sad thing about it is this takes everything away from the victims. It takes everything away from the stories of the people that are hurt. And it's not the people that get hurt, it's not just the victims. Of course, that's the number one people that get hurt, but it's the community. I look now, I have now recently started attending church again. I go to, my wife takes my 4-year-old and 2-year-old daughter to Woolworths at the shops, which is probably 30 minutes away from this church,
yeah,
and an hour away from Bondi or whatever, to go get bread and milk. I sit there last night going, where can we go? Without me having to go, you know, I do self-defense classes. I think, what would I have done? I do self-defense classes and I think, okay, I have to go with my wife and my children now to make sure that nothing's going to pop off. Because yeah, another thing, this can start a domino effect. We were discussing this last night, Yaz.
Yeah.
There is possibilities of another one happening and another one happening.
Well, this is what happens. There's people out there that have these evil thoughts in their head, and what's stopping them is probably the fact that they don't think it's possible, right? They don't think it's actually doable. But what happens when these people see it happening multiple times in one week? They get the confidence to, right? Now, I'm not trying to spread fear or spread anything here, but I think it's about time we start making some changes.
Well, some of the changes that was discussed and what I've heard is that they're looking at making security guards carry firearms.
Yeah, but the Premier came out and said no. He said that will never happen.
Well, I don't think
he
it should.
He said, I will never arm security guards. But here's the thing, you're not arming security guards. Don't have security guards. Have proper trained officers that are on duty as security.
You have to pay the police force for that.
Well, they're already being paid, aren't they? Yeah. They're already there.
I don't think it's necessary to do that because of what it means for everyone else and everyone else's freedom of being able to walk around without firearms. I mean, you kind of get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I can't walk down the street without, my kids can't walk down the street with someone with a gun standing there. Like, that's very intimidating.
Yeah, but yeah,
and it's very like, it takes away from, it kind of gets into freedom stuff. And,
no, 100%. And I will never ever say legalize firearms. I'd never ever say that, right? But we're at a point now where we actually have nothing to protect ourselves. You cannot protect yourself with anything.
You're carrying pepper spray, you get fined.
If you have pepper spray, that is a weapon. That is considered a weapon.
Yeah, Avnisha, if you have to,
for example, walk home late from work at 10 yeah. p.m. at night yeah. in a dirty alleyway, you cannot have pepper spray.
You know what you have?
That's odd to me, yeah.
You have a whistle. You have a whistle yeah. and you blow it. And that's it.
Yeah, that just seems very, very silly. But like me walking around with a pocket knife, is that legal?
No, of course
it's a weapon.
Not. It's a weapon. Oh, you can't walk around with anything. And you know what's even worse about this country? And I'm going to have to do a fact check on this, but I've heard this multiple times, right? If someone attacked me, right, with a knife and I wielded a machete to self-defend myself, I will get charged because it's not an equivalent self-defense.
Wow.
Is that not the most insane thing you've ever heard in your life?
Well, wasn't there, and I could be wrong entirely too, but I am just curious, is there a law as well that if someone like breaks into your house and they get hurt in
it's
your property?
Fault. Yeah, there's an insurance
I've heard,
stuff. There's
I've
all
heard
that
something
stuff.
Something like that.
Look,
yeah.
There's all of that stuff going on. I think. Okay, how do we suggest this to solve these things? I think there needs to be compulsory self-defense classes placed in our schools, placed and the ability for people to access it easier. Just so people, if everyone knows self-defense or everyone has a level of self-defense techniques and skills, who's going to attack then?
Yeah, but at the same time, I feel like that's going to cost the government more money than having a couple.
Well, put our money towards something freaking useful once.
That's what I'm saying.
Do you know what I mean?
The Australian government has so much money, Kian. I'm sorry. We have a great life here. We do. It's amazing. Healthcare, blah, 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 this and that.
In a very controlled state.
In a very controlled state. But especially New South Wales, we are a cash cow. From our fines, our ridiculous fines, you park somewhere that you shouldn't, or you go over your parking by 2 minutes, you're being charged $200, right? Our toll roads, for me to go to the airport and back, is costing me $60.
Is it?
$60.
Our
tax rates are almost upwards of 50%, almost 50% of what we earn can be taxed. Where is this money going? Do something to protect us. Put some extra officers, hire some more officers. It's $60,000, $70,000 a year. It is nothing to the taxpayer. We will happily pay our taxes if that's what you're using the money for. If you're going to protect our community.
It doesn't feel like there's enough protection put in place.
No, definitely not.
Look, let me ask you this. Do people get taxed when they go gambling?
No.
Okay.
They don't get taxed, but it is one of the biggest money makers for the government. You got to remember that.
So how
we have a very bad gambling culture here
so
in
the
Australia.
The reason I bring this up is if the government making money through gambling, gambling.
Well, they're making money through the companies that
that pay
the tax through the gambling.
Their licenses and all that stuff.
So if I was to go lose $100 gambling in Australia, $48 of that is going to the government.
Okay, so listen to that. If the government makes money through which people consider worse than a drug addiction.
Yeah, it's life ruining,
right? If they're going to make money off off that, and not put in place security for us, we just know where the government's intentions lie.
Yeah.
So we understand that, and I think people need to understand that this is how this. And if you haven't woken up, time to wake up. We've gone so far away from the point of this whole story, though. The main thing is what we want and what we suggest. You know, if the government can't afford to put in self-defense classes, I suggest you do that because it's not just good to protect yourself. It's also confidence and all that stuff within yourself. You can build communities around it, whatever. Do that. Go and train in self-defense so you're confident walking around the streets and you understand you can protect yourself and protect your family, number one. Number two, this whole labeling back and forth. Don't fall into what the media says about it. Just stick to the actual facts about what's going down. And the great thing about this bishop, which you know is a great step that he's taken towards forgiveness and to pray for the attacker.
Yeah,
you know these are the type of people you're dealing with. So I know it's very hard and it's very tense for our communities right now because of all these things that's going on. And it's very hard to find forgiveness and it might take some time to have forgiveness for all these things.
Yeah.
At the end of all of it, you know, we have to come together as one and figure this stuff out together.
Agreed.
And I don't know how to and whatever, but maybe it's speaking to your local MP. I don't know how many times people do that and shit just goes, whatever. I don't know the answers, but all I do know is what you can do for yourself and what you rightfully have for yourself. And that's to protect yourself, right?
Yeah.
So if by all means, protect yourself.
One more thing I just want to mention. Obviously, when something like this happens and it is fueled by religion, right? It's a very, very bad thing and it can cause separation. We don't want that in our communities. We definitely don't. Do not fall for the rumors. It is very important. There's so many rumors going around all social media platforms from WhatsApp to Instagram to Snapchat, all this bullshit that you're going to be hearing. Last night, within 2 hours of what happened, there were rumors going around that, you know, Christian men were going to mosques to burn them down in retaliation. These were completely falsified and rumored. I'm sorry, we're not going to do that. We're not that stupid, right? Now, there are some dumb people out there, but no one is blaming the Muslim community. Of course we're not blaming the Muslim community. Of course we're not going to find retaliation in going and burning down our brothers and sisters' place of worship. So don't fall for that. Don't let what you're hearing through media and through social media actually bring separation.
Yeah.
Because that's just going to
make things worse. Yeah, they're echo chambers at the end of the day, of right? Like, yeah. And I think there's also like a higher message here. I think we're, as a society, and this is all across the world, we're getting to a point where we're finding it very difficult to have differing opinions on things. And I think you should always welcome a different opinion. You should welcome it with open arms because it might be a chance for you to grow or maybe go stronger in your position of what you feel. But because someone is different to you or because someone thinks differently to you, it's not a bad thing. And I think it's causing a lot more terrible separation in all communities, not just one, everywhere.
You just don't need to result in violence, essentially.
Yeah.
You just don't need to go in violence. It's the worst thing you can do.
Exactly.
It's the most awful thing you can do. It doesn't hurt one person. It hurts yourself. Think of his family. Think of his mother, the 15-year-old boy's mum.
Yeah.
Sitting there about her son that's doing this. Do you think she's happy about that? No, of course not.
No. And the sad truth is, you know, we live in a world where people like to pass blame.
Mm.
Do you think she's not going to cop retaliation?
Yeah, she's going to cop it.
She will. And it's sad because she's probably done absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably a beautiful, innocent young lady.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, we'll take from that what you want. And hopefully there's something in there that clears some things up for you. And hopefully we've covered some of the opinions that you may have and voiced something that you may feel and connect with. And if there's any points you want to add, you can always feel free to hit us up at our socials. We're happy to always talk to you guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a time to open up communication now.
Yeah, most definitely. Big time.
So thanks for being here. Already cancelled.
Bye.
Already cancelled.
If you like the podcast, prove it. Like, share, and subscribe. And don't forget to leave us a cheeky review.